I want you to turn in your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts and chapter 11 in the book of Acts for the foundation for our third in a series of messages on the church. As you know, we have given over the month of April the Sunday morning worship services and messages to the theme of the church. And I trust that you would learn to appreciate more the church after this month of April and these special messages on the church. In fact, I hope that you'll like it so much that you'll be back tonight in the Sunday night worship service at 7 o'clock. And if you don't, I'm going to tell you in advance that I believe you'll miss a real blessing from the hour of worship. We shall begin reading in verse 19 of Acts chapter 11 after we bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we shall meditate these moments upon Thy Word, as we shall talk about the church and its importance in the world today, help us to see that without the ministry of the church, this world would certainly be darker and more treacherous and unsafe and unsound. So may we reevaluate the position of the church and its ministry in the 20th century. And may we know that the gates of hell shall not prevail against Thy church. May we give ourselves in full and absolute commitment, total commitment, not just token, but total commitment to this great cause, because we ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake with thanksgiving. Amen. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was upon them, or with them, and a great number believed, and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I shall never forget the experiences of growing up in a parsonage and under the influence of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. One of the experiences to which we always look forward was the ringing of the old-fashioned church bell. Many times Dad would let us go into the closet where the rope would swing down, and we would help him to pull the bell to sound forth and peal forth the news that the church was open and that the gospel of Christ was to be preached. My, what precious memories they are today. Many of you have experienced somewhat the same. But whether it be in the years gone by or today or in days yet ahead, at any moment when we think of the church that Jesus built, it should cause our hearts to rejoice to know that the gospel of the Son of God is being proclaimed to the ends of the earth. I don't know what we would do this morning if it were not for the church in the community. What do you think our city would be like if all the churches were taken out? What would your home and your family and your business be like if all the churches were removed from the scene today? Isn't it a rather tragic thought that we so often take for granted that the church is in the community and that we have a place to go and worship? We ought not to abuse our privileges nor neglect our opportunities to assemble ourselves together for the purpose of worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other organism or organization or institution in the world today that serves as many areas as does the church. And I want us to think of some of the areas of service in the ministry of the church as we talk for a while about the function of the church. Just what is the function of the church in the 20th century? In brief, if the church is doing what it ought to do, if the church is fulfilling the mission that it should fill today in the 20th century, the function of the church is not one iota of difference from the function of the church that we read about at Antioch and Jerusalem and in the other places of the ancient world. For while other things have changed drastically, and what a changed world we are living in today. This last week, the incidents, even yesterday, across the country, shows us and indicates to us that we are living in a disturbed hour. The rebellion on the part of youth and adults alike. In an age and in a generation of girlish boys and boyish girls, in an age of beatniks and in an age of demonstrations and uprisings, it seems to me that we ought to turn back to the faith of our forefathers and back to the principles and premises upon which they stood and for which they lived and for which they died, and say with Joshua of old, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I believe there's a cause for which to live today. I believe the church has a function today. And I believe we ought to open our eyes and reevaluate and call men everywhere out of our communities and out of our lives and out of the places where we work to come together to make the church the strongest that it's ever been in its almost 2,000 years of existence. I say again, the church has the same function today as it had almost 2,000 years ago. Now, what is the function of the church? First of all, the church is in the world to preserve the truth. Jude put it this way: I write to you to stir up your hearts and minds, to remind you, to challenge you, to commend you, to charge you to do one thing. Earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. And what is that faith that was once delivered to the saints? I believe that the faith that was once delivered to the saints, that faith is the teaching and the doctrine and the principles and the truths of God's Word. And these have not changed. I am the Lord thy God, said Jehovah to Israel, and I change not. And Paul writes about Jesus Christ, and he says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, unchanging. I used to sing a song when I was growing up about hold to the unchanging hand of God. We've changed hands in the 20th century. We've tried to hold hands with the world, and the church has flirted with the world and courted the world, until the world is full of the church and the church is full of the world. And there ought to be a line of distinction today. We are in the world as a church to preserve the truth. And the truth of God's word cuts across every area of our existence. Would you believe that there are some people in the world who think that the Bible is only a Sunday book? It's shoved aside on the shelf or on the dresser or in the closet or somewhere all week long. And then the Bible is taken out and goes to church on Sunday. This Bible is not a Sunday book. This is a daily book. We must feast upon the Word of God daily, not just on Sunday, because God's Word guides us in every area of our living. For example, the Word of God teaches us how we ought to take care of our business. The Word of God teaches us how to live with our neighbor and at the same time to treat our enemies. All of this we learn from the Word of God. Jesus said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Jesus said, love thine enemy. Pray for them that despitefully use you. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that do evil unto you. We learn this from this Word of God and this faith for which we are earnestly contending in 1967. The Word of God, and from it we learn how to operate our homes. There is a word, a strong word to parents. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Needless to say that the sons are going to follow in the footsteps of daddy. Like the man who was going out into the blinding snowstorm, and he was quite apprehensive and quite concerned about his son who was following behind. And the snow was deep. And he turned to his son and he said, son, is everything all right? Oh, yes, he said, daddy, I'm putting my feet right where you put yours. Oh, what a message of truth. For the children will walk like daddy walks and talk like daddy walks and live like daddy lives. No wonder then the Bible says that children ought to be trained and brought up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And that's where it seems the breakdown is in our society today. Many are not concerned of what their children are doing and where their children are, but they are turned loose to roam the streets. And all of it is not on the outside. Many Christian parents are failing today in example and by precept and teaching. And there's the word to the children. Listen to me, children and young people. You might think that mother and daddy are a little bit old-fashioned. But you'll live long enough to wish that you could go back to that old-fashioned day. When you grow up and face the problems of this life and of a mad, mixed-up world, and you see in your children and in the lives of those about you, if the Lord tarries his coming, you would to God a million times that you could go back and sit at mother's table and listen to the words of wisdom and instruction from a mother and daddy who lived in the fear and admonition of God's word. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, that it might be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long upon the land that the Lord thy God hath given thee. We are preserving the truth this morning. That is the purpose and the function of the church. From God's Word, which is a daily book, we learn how to invest our money. From God's Word, we learn how to live out the Christian life. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, the Bible tells us all of these things, how to live But it doesn't drop us there. The Bible tells us how to die. The psalmist said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they do comfort me." So when we come down to the brink of the river of death, we may say to Jesus, "Thou art the captain of my soul. Thou art the redeemer of my life. Thou art the savior of my soul. Take me across the river of death." And he will do so. And we can sing, "I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to go through that river of death alone. For Christ is with me." And the Bible said, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. And precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." You see what I mean about this not being a Sunday book? This is a daily book. You can take it in your heart on the job, into the classroom, young people. The young lady that sang that solo for us a while ago, Miss Betty Record, was noted in the BMA magazine, a national magazine, for being the number one in the youth program of memorizing over 400 verses of Scripture. No wonder she can sing. She's got something to sing about. Oh, if we could but see this morning that all of this is the truth that we are dedicated to preserve, not to destroy. And every time you come to church, and every time you sing, and every time you pray, and every time you give, and every time you visit, you are helping to preserve the truth. Say, why don't we turn that coin over and say that every time you fail to do these things, you are destroying the truth? Oh, but somebody said, "Preacher, the church could get along without me. I would never be missed. I can't do much anyhow." I suppose that may have been the way the little lad felt that had only 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fish. They weren't much, were they? Oh, no. Hardly feed one hungry man. But in the hands of Jesus, a little becomes a lot. Now, you may not have but 5 loaves this morning. You may not have but 2 fish this morning. But if you'll put them in the hands of Jesus, he'll feed the hungry multitudes. Your 5 loaves are represented by the money that you gave to missions this morning. For Jesus through his missionaries to feed the hungry multitudes around the world. Say, "But I didn't have much to give." It's not how much you gave, it's how much you had left over that really counts. When they came by giving their gifts in the New Testament, Jesus said the widow gave the most because she gave of a very scanty score. The rich men gave big gifts, but they had a whole lot left over. Oh, you say, "But preacher, you're talking about Bible characters. You're talking about somebody that was important." Say, what's that little boy's name? Anybody know? He must not have been too important. His name is not even given in the Scripture. A little bit becomes a whole lot in the hands of Jesus. And when Jesus has fed the multitudes with your loaves and your fishes, the fragments of 12 baskets full remain. We are here to preserve the truth. Not only that, but the function of the church is to preach the message of the gospel. You know, some churches today have lost sight of that. There came to me this last week a paper with pictures and accompanying articles that is absolutely sickening. I mean literally sickening to your stomach. Of things that transpired in a Methodist church in San Francisco, California. You would blush to read it. Of the nudity and obscenity and topless dances in the sanctuary under the candles of the cross. You ought to be glad this morning that you are not a part of something like that. You ought to be glad this morning, and you ought to be glad tonight that you have a place to come to worship and pray and sing and testify and witness to the world of the saving power of Jesus Christ. You are taking it for granted, many of you. You are missing out on your opportunities, many of you. Oh, may God help us to put something in us today to see that the function of the church is not to join with the world, but the function of the church is to bring the world to Christ. We have a message to preach. What is that message this morning? Let Amos answer that question. Prepare to meet thy God. What is that message this morning? Let Peter answer that question. For as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without spot and without blemish. This is our message this morning. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth from all sin. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stain. What is that message this morning? Let John answer. This then is the message that we have heard and which we give to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. What is that message? Let Paul answer. Moreover, brethren, I declared unto you the gospel of Jesus Christ, how that Christ died according to the Scripture, and he was buried, and that he arose on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the message that we ought to preach and proclaim and publicize and publish and print and tell around the world. Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing the glories of the King. Oh, I would this morning that we might get this vision, that it is ours to reach a world with the gospel of Christ. It is ours this morning to preach but one message. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. No wonder Paul said to the Romans, I am not ashamed. You know what he really said? I am proud of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the dynamite of God to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Where are we supposed to preach that message? Let Jesus answer it. All power in heaven and earth is given into my hand. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the county line, even to the borders of the state, even through 1967. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. That's where we're to preach the gospel this morning. To whom are we to preach the gospel? Let Jesus answer. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to just a few select nations. Preach it to the Americans. Preach it to the English-speaking people. No, Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature. A Baptist preacher was visiting in a hospital, an interfaith hospital, and just going down the line in the wards. And finally he came to one woman, and she had heard what he had said to these others, taking out his New Testament and telling them how to be saved. And when he got to her bedside, she said, pardon me, sir, but you must have the wrong patient. Oh, no, ma'am, he said, I don't have the wrong patient. Oh, yes, you do. You see, I'm of another faith, and, And my pastor's right down there, and he's coming down the hall now. You've got the wrong patient. He said, ma'am, I want you to read a verse with me. And he opened his Bible over there to Mark chapter 16. And Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't have the wrong patient. You are among that number. To whom are we to preach the gospel? Around the world. Our fellow men. We make a great mistake to provincialize the gospel and the truth. To try to put the gospel in the confines of our own city or our own country or our own culture. This is a mistake. This is wrong. The gospel is the world gospel. The truth is the world's truth. You know what Joseph said to his brothers when they came? And this just flew out of the Bible and just hit me in the face this week. Except I see the face of your brother, you won't see me anymore. Now, Joseph was the supreme ruler. Could we say that Joseph is the type of Christ ruling over a kingdom? And, ladies and gentlemen, unless we bring our brothers of all cultures and climates and civilizations of the world, do we expect to see the face of our Joseph? We ought to preach the gospel to all people, to all countries, to all cultures, to all civilizations. Who is to carry this message? Well, from the Word of God, we can get the answer in the book of Acts. And they that were scattered abroad, you read it in Acts chapter 8. All of the people of the church at Jerusalem were scattered abroad except the apostles. And on down in the chapter it says, and they that were scattered abroad, that is the members of the church of Jerusalem, went everywhere preaching the Word except the apostles. Now, we've turned that thing around in the 20th century. And we say that nobody's to witness and nobody's to win souls and nobody's to testify but the apostles. But God's Word said everybody that was scattered abroad went about preaching the Word. Everybody. That's all of us. A newly hired deckhand was being shown over the great ocean freighter that he was going to be on going across the sea. And after he'd been shown all the parts of it, he finally said to the captain, but captain, where are the passengers going to stay? Ah, young man, he said, there are no passengers on this ship. Everybody who sails this ship works. If the Christians of the 20th century, if the members of Worth Baptist Church would realize that we are all members of the crew and there are no passengers. You talk about a revival breaking out. You talk about souls being saved. You speak about missions. We would revolutionize a community for Christ if we were all members of the crew and not wanting to find the easy place of the passenger. You know, when we've got something good, we want to share it. What do they say about Sprite? It's so good, we just can't keep it quiet. We have the gospel of redeeming grace. And we are deaf and dumb when it comes to the better things of life. It ought to be so good to us that we just can't keep it quiet. Who is to preach? Who is to tell out the story? All of us. Now what about the results? Two men were returning on the same ship from India to England. One was a sportsman, the other was a missionary. The sportsman said to the missionary, after they had engaged in conversation for a while, strange to me, but in all the time, over 25 years that I've been in India, I haven't seen one native convert. And the missionary said, did you ever see any tigers in India? Oh yes, he said, I've seen hundreds of them. In fact, I've shot dozens of them on my hunt. The missionary said, why, that's kind of strange to me. I've been here over 20 years and I never have seen a tiger. You see, one of them was looking for souls.
The other was looking for tigers. And both found what they were looking for. What are you looking for this morning? You'll find it. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. This is the function of the church, to preach the message of the gospel of Christ to the ends of the earth. But there's one other thing that I would not want to miss this morning. Not only is the church here to preserve the truth, not only is the church here to preach the message of the gospel of redeeming grace, but the church is here to provide a shelter in the time of storm. You know, they said about the Titanic, it cannot be sunk. But it was. History tells the story. When hundreds lost their lives in an unsinkable ship, I want to invite you this morning to get on board the only unsinkable ship I know anything about, the Ark of Safety, and ride through the storms. And there are storms. And there are perplexions. And there are problems. And there are heartaches. And there are disappointments. But as long as you're on the gospel ship and Jesus Christ is the captain, you'll brave the storm. Or you might seem sometime that you're going to sink. But the devil and all of his sailors, and the devil and all of his waves of persecution and problem and peril, cannot sink the gospel ship. It's unsinkable this morning. And the church is here to provide for families just like yours a shelter in the time of storm. The storms of life are many. I talked with a man in the hospital corridor the other week. He was nervously pacing the corridors. And I stopped and approached him and I said, "Mister, you must have some real problems." Oh, he said, "My wife is just undergoing her 13th major operation." I said, "Mister, are you a Christian?" "Oh, yes," he said, and a big smile came on his face. "If I were not saved, I don't believe I could stand it." 2 years ago, when the son of one of our members was taken out suddenly in an automobile accident, Mrs. Wilson, they hadn't been members of the church long. Some of you members went with me into that home several times. And we saw Mrs. Wilson down on her knees and trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the next Sunday we saw her husband come and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And I baptized both of them. When I got to St. Joseph's Hospital those months ago, the very first thing she said to me, "Brother Raymond, I'm so glad that we are both saved." She knew she couldn't weather that storm outside the Lord Jesus. You cannot weather yours, but with him, you've got an anchor that's safe and sure. Gypsy Smith, the great gospel preacher of yesteryear, was walking with his dad along the seashore. His daddy reached down and picked up a bottle and filled it up with seawater, and then threw it as far as he could out in the ocean. He said, "Now you see, son, the ocean is in the bottle, and the bottle is in the ocean. You see, folks, Jesus is in us, and we're in Jesus. I recommend to you this morning, take your burdens to him who invited you to cast all of your care upon him. I invite you in the hour of death to put your hand in the nail-scarred hand and cross the chilly waters of the Jordan. I admonish you in the hour of judgment, let Jesus Christ plead your cause. The church is here to provide a shelter in the time of storm. You can say with the poet, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore." I'm glad for that shelter this morning. Are you abiding under the shadow of the Almighty? Do you know the comfort of the bomb-proof shelter that Jesus gives? Are you safe in Him today? Are you walking with Him today? Are you in the church today? Are you inside the family of God today? Where are you? The church is here to preserve the truth, to proclaim the message, to provide the shelter for you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, dear God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the midst of all the storms, problems, disappointments, persecutions, perils, discouragements, valleys of despondency, we thank Thee that we learned from our lesson this morning in the Sunday school that the angel of the Lord is still there. We thank Thee for the shelter that we have in Him. Thank Thee for the opportunity to preserve the truth and proclaim the gospel. It is our prayer this morning that the Holy Spirit would take over. We don't know how to give an invitation. We don't know what to say, but Thou knowest. Thou knowest the hearts of the men and women here. Some without Jesus. Bring them in today. Let them come and trust Him as their Savior while they have time and opportunity. Some, Heavenly Father, outside the confines of the church, don't let them stay out there. May they come this morning and identify themselves with a church that's dedicated to preserve the truth, to proclaim the gospel, to provide a shelter in the time of storm. Heavenly Father, for those who may be walking at a distance from Thee, not in the place of service that they once were, nor in the place of service that they ought to be. Bring them in today. Even now, in Jesus' name we ask.